The book of Jeremiah. We come today to Jeremiah chapter 33, and we begin our study in verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our 17th study in the book of Jeremiah begins in chapter 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Jeremiah was confined to the court of the guard, or the court of the prison. He was confined, but he was kept close to the king and to his officers, probably so that they could try to convince him to change his tune and start prophesying good things for the nation instead of all this negative stuff, which is why he is in prison. Verse 2. Thus says the Lord, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And the it is the earth. More specifically, the nation Israel. God formed the earth to establish it. The point is this: he made it so that it would function. He formed it to establish it. He made it so that it would work. God purposes good things, and everything will operate the way he wants it to operate in his time. Verse 3. God says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and many things which you do not know. God knows everything. The Bible says that the things revealed belong to us, but the hidden things belong to God. A lot of times we probably want to know more than what we know about circumstances, about the future. But the fact is, we do not need to know everything. Only those things which God wants us to know. Verse 4. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. And you know you're in trouble when God says that he is hiding his face from you. And that was the case with Israel. And that's not the way God normally is, so something made that happen. Well, when unrepenting sinners are punished, that's when God hides his face. That is, he ignores their cries for help. At least until their punishment has run its course. When is that? Well, that's up to God. He knows what's best. Verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. So, you know, it's going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better, but it's going to get better, says God. And the thing is, it wouldn't have to be anything but peace for God's people if they would only do things God's way. Verse 7, and I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. God will return things to the way they were before the sins of his people provoked his anger. Verse 8. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Only God can forgive sins. And only God can cleanse our souls. We can forgive one another's sins. If you sin against me or I sin against you, and I apologize, you can forgive me, but only God can forgive sins and cleanse our souls. Meaning God alone can take our sins off his book, because he alone is judge. Verse 9, then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. The fear and the trembling come into play when God's people, or people in general for that matter, read the Word of God and are reminded, or maybe see for the first time, that the Lord really does make a distinction between good and evil. Now that's a pretty frightening thought, especially in today's world, where people want to get rid of that distinction of right and wrong. They want everything to be kind of amoral. But that's not the way God looks at things. And when you realize that God says there is a wrong, well, that can be frightening. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place of which you say, it is desolate, without man and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast. God says again it's going to be heard in there, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, the flock shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them, says the Lord. And so God, in these verses, elaborates on the contrast between the present judgment of Israel and their future blessing. Verse 14, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. God doesn't just make promises. He makes them, and then he actively works to ensure that they come to pass. In other words, he performs them. 15. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And that's Jesus. That branch of righteousness that grows out of the line of David, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 16. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. All who come to Christ are given the gift of righteousness. And that's Jew, Gentile, and it began to be that way on the day of Pentecost, and it will be that way until Jesus returns. 17. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And that man, of course, is Jesus, the son of David, who lives and rules forever and ever, the Alpha and the Omega, as he has said, the King of Kings. Verse 18, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continually. And these things would remain, this Levitical priesthood, they would remain until they were fulfilled and superseded by the final sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ on the cross. 19, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day, and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season. And of course, no one can break that covenant, because God promised Noah that it would endure to the end of the earth. But God says, if you can do it, 21, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. And he says in verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. The descendants of David would be God's spiritual children, who are his in Christ. Verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. And he says in verse 23, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, that would be the northern half of Israel and the southern half of Israel, he has also cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Well, he's talking about the Babylonians. And that's the people that he's referring to, because they and the other heathen countries around there thought that God had disowned his people for keeps. And that's because they saw Israel's destruction. They didn't realize that God was just punishing them, disciplining them. Verse 25. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with the day and the night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captives to return and will have mercy on them. And God is making it very clear. Making it very clear. Not all Israel is Israel, like the New Testament says, but those Jews who turn to Christ and submit to the kingship of the Son of David, they are God's people. And they are the ones that this blessing is pointing to. Now, let's go into chapter 34. Excuse me. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and all its cities. And there's something that just blows my mind. How the king of Israel could still refuse to repent, even as God's warnings of judgment were coming to pass, I think is a testimony to the power of sin, the power that sin has to harden a soul. Verse 2. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon. He shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you, you shall not die by the sword, but you shall die in peace, as in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings, who were before you. So they shall burn incense for you, and lament for you, saying, alas, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, says the Lord. And I guess it would be some consolation that the king of Israel would at least get a decent burial, according to the word of God. If nothing else, it indicates that God has not despised him to the point where he would not be received if he truly repented. So, you know, he still has time. He won't save his life, but he can save his soul. Verse 6, then Jeremiah the prophet spoke all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem. When the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah that were left against Lachish and Azekah, for only these fortified cities remained of the cities of Judah. And so the nation is here crumbling from the wrath of God. It's going down the tubes fast. 8, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slave, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now, when all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage any more, they obeyed and let them go. All Israelites would go into exile as equals. There are no big shots while God is punishing. Verse 11. But afterwards, they shall change their minds and... Actually, it says, but afterwards they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return, whom they had set free, and brought them into subjection as male and female slaves. Incredible. Even at this late period, they are still going back on their word to God. With death at the door, they continue to commit sin. They continue to rebel. 12. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, At the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother who has been sold to him. And when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey me, nor incline their ear. No Hebrew was to serve as a slave for any longer than 6 years. Israel disregarded that law of God. And that's another one they broke. And like God wouldn't see, or like God didn't care. He did see. And he did care. Verse 15. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight, every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slaves. And so they obeyed for a while. They repented for a while, but then they reverse course again, and that's just not good enough. 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every one to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine, and I will deliver you to trouble among all the nations of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and pass between the parts of it, the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf. I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. God says, you want to be free, and so you break my commandments. Well, I'll set you free, all right. I'll set you free, and you're going to be on your own. See, God was saying that he wouldn't protect his people anymore. You want to be free? Fine. But your freedom is going to end up being your punishment. 21. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which has gone back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to this city. They will fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant. No one, not even the so-called important people, will escape the punishment of God. Next time, chapter 35. Until then, so long, everyone.